Welcome to Mission Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
This is Christian.
And I'm still Jeff.
I like it that the new guys are changing it up
a little bit. I do, too. They actually catch on pretty quick.
This is pretty cool.
I say.
Look at you guys. You're now twice as the podcasters you were 30 minutes ago. Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
You mean you. A day ago.
A day ago.
We're doing it.
This is minute 8. Yeah, this is minute 82. We're back with Jeff and Christian. This is our super fan week. So pay to play. Come on over to our patreon.com/minuteimpossible. If you're a member at the $3 level for over 6 months, you get to be on the show. It's as simple as that.
You get to mix it up with us and change the format around.
Let's talk about that, too. You also have to have a microphone. I'm not shipping you one.
No.
So I need you to have the basics of communication.
A computer. Like
Jeff has a microphone that is older.
I have the basics.
Jeff has a microphone that is older than this movie franchise.
Wow.
I brushed the dust off of it.
Nice.
He's actually recording it into wax. So just be prepared.
He's doing it into vinyl. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you say that again into my giant gramophone?
Vinyl's hip.
I'm making a gramophone of music that is inspired by the movie Mission Impossible 2.
No, it's inspired by the minute by minute of Mission Impossible 2.
This is a movie about the podcast.
I have Jonathan singing All-Star in a minute.
Hey now, you're an all-star. You know, when I start that, somewhere out there, Dave Pallas
I could feel it.
Up.
He's like, ooh.
Can you feel it? He like starts looking around. Gets that train whistle, comes running.
Mystery
on here. We never know. But this is minute 82. 82 begins with some supremely awful Robert Towne dialogue.
What are you talking about? And,
Robert,
that's the good stuff.
And ends with Naya about to make a choice. This minute, we all talked about it off in the green room beforehand. We were like, this minute's going to be hard.
Yep.
Kind of wish I had a female voice on for this one, but I don't. So
yeah.
Three guys are going to talk about it.
Maybe I should have paid more for Patreon to not get this.
Just so you know, we have $1, $3, $5, and $10 tiers at the Patreon. I don't think any of them get you out of anything. 10 may.
Maybe the $20 one.
We have people who pay 10 do anything they want. But yeah, well, this is the minute where, and I will explain what we're talking about. There is a line that Ambrose says basically at the beginning of the minute.
So wrong.
And it's not a good line, and it's not borderline offensive. It's offensive.
Yeah, it's offensive to multiple parties, I think.
It you know what? As you watch it now, you're kind of like, oh, that was something cheeky they said. And I don't remember having a problem with it in the movie, but I also don't remember a lot about this movie when I saw it. Christian, you said you saw it when you were 14. Do you remember this line?
Oh, I couldn't forget this line. I was just, oh, no.
Yeah.
You were so woke.
No, it just sounded terrible. Well, no, it was just terrible.
Did the crowd react? Do you remember?
I remember.
I'll be honest. I think when I saw it, because I saw it like 3 times that summer, and the time I remember the most is when my cousin's baby was there, and there was like no one else in the theater. So
sequel to My Cousin Vinny?
But yeah, no, so I don't remember if anyone reacted to that. And of course, then every subsequent viewing was with my sister, and we always reacted to that because it was terrible.
Now, Jeff, you and just like Chris used to work in, you worked in a movie theater.
Yeah, I think I remember Anthony Hopkins' "She's a Woman" line more, which him and Ambrose should get together over a beer. Oh,
what if we find that Swan Beck was the person who recruited Ambrose because they have such similar views.
Yes.
Hey, look, guys, I got a muse. My muse is Ambrose. He says what I think.
I ran it in a theater in New Orleans. So,
and
it was quite the reaction. Like lots of hooting and hollering and booing. It was like crazy.
Yeah, it's not. We've talked about the line. We haven't said the line. All right, I'll do it. You know women, mate, like monkeys they are, won't let go of one branch till they get a grip on the next. Yikes.
Ooh.
Yikes. It's more troublesome than she wasn't gagging for it. More troublesome. Because it's actually not only disgusting, it's somehow also racist. And it's like, it's just a whole microcosm of bad.
I'm offended as a white guy.
Chris, are you offended?
Oh, yeah. I remember it. I mean, for some reason, it sticks in my head every time. I mean, just not even it's just for random things. I'm like, oh, why does that line keep coming back in my head? But, you know.
Yeah. I'm glad. Well, this Chris, this goes on the, I'm going to put it up on the board here. It's going up on the board for reasons why I don't like this movie. This just, I added this to it. That list isn't very long, but, you know, it's up on a chalkboard over here to my left.
So I was just in Costa Rica last weekend and I saw monkeys. Not necessarily sure this was true. Even just putting aside the terribleness of it, it's not factual.
It isn't. Monkeys, more often than not, leap. If anything, they leap before they look, and they just kind of like make the best of whatever is in their hand, like reach. There's like, ah, cool, that's cool. I'll grab for that one. She leans down to pick up during this horrible line. She leans down to pick up the injection gun. She looks over at Ethan, and then the most glorious thing happens. Naya becomes the hero of this movie.
Yep.
Again, I will ask you what I was asked you yesterday. I thought she was going to die until second 36 of this minute.
I would agree.
When she's looking down, like I'm like, oh god, she's going to kick that thing over to him. She's going to kick that thing over to him, get a bullet in the brain.
Yep. And when she picks it up, that was the first one. I was like, oh.
Well, she picks it up, and then that light behind you reminds you that she's a hero.
That light behind her is awesome, by the way. I think this whole sequence is so well lit. We talked about this last week, but
yeah, because it's a close, you know, it's not a real place. Yeah. It's a set, so they control everything. It's just so beautiful. Like she's bathed in green, but the light is blue, and there's blue on Ethan. Ugh, ugh, so good. It's actually one of the reasons why I used to like Michael Bay back in the day. Was the stark contrast he would create with his filters on the colors of the lights.
He's kind of gone crazy with
this. This has a very rocks.
Yeah, very it rock really does.
Catacomb kind of look to it. The music's not even close, but.
Yet it's the same composer. Hans Zimmer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer working hard in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
right?
Since the 80s all the way up. But yeah, really the late 90s. Once he got on that Jerry Bruckheimer bandwagon, it was like nonstop. I mean, it's no Driving Miss Daisy, but you know, it works.
When they bring in the light and the gladiator music, that's what I'm calling this, because it's like indistinct female voice. Like, hey,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're saying. They're not.
No, but yeah, Lisa Gerrard really, really makes. Yeah. I mean, when I heard it, I was like, wow, that's making the scene for me.
I wonder if they are words.
I'm sure
like
they
they're
are.
Done as words, or like, pick up the injection gun. Look at it. So much fun.
If I recall, when I watched this as a kid again, on like on VHS or DVD, I'd always put on the captions, and there was sort of, anytime this sort of stuff came on, it'd be indistinct chanting.
I was going to say indistinct chanting. Yeah.
It's my favorite kind of music.
Doesn't that happen in most of the versions of Star Wars: The Phantom Menace? Other than the country where that language is actually the language of the Duel of the Fates, like Ujo, Mama, Eva, Momo. Everybody's just like chanting. Then one country's like, oh, they're saying like chicken, hair dryer,
popcorn,
meatball. Popcorn. I said meatball.
it's what it is actually is it's a subliminal noise to get us to go see the next one and the third one and stick with Star Wars until we're old and dead.
They're like, Minute Impossible will be a movie franchise forever. He's immortal. Go see them. They're going to get better. I swear. That'd be an awesome song. Wow. You didn't get that?
Prophetic.
Yeah. She knew a lot.
Yeah. They were ahead of their time.
They really were. If this was a modern version or retelling of Naya at this moment, this is the moment where the heroine takes the vial, throws it to Ethan, does some sort of cartwheel flip toward Ambrose and somehow like knocks the gun out of his hand and then does like a judo chop to his solar plexus. That's what I was thinking was going to happen. I was like, man, if this was made today, she would be the agent of her own, you know.
See, at one point I thought she was going to get it, grab Ethan and hold it to his neck so they could escape.
Oh,
that's what I thought was going to happen at some point.
That's another. Well, then they could still just shoot him.
Yeah.
I'm glad she didn't do that. That's a terrible plan.
Yeah, because he has no idea. He has no desire to save Ethan.
No. Because you could take it out of a dead body. Okay.
No, you can't take it out of a dead body. That's the thing. It's got to be.
Why?
That's the point. That's why he doesn't shoot her.
If we know how, we know what Chimera works at. Chimera works at around 95 to 102 degrees. Just put the body in a kiln of some sort
and it melts, you know.
Yeah,
won't melt at 100 degrees. She's not made slowly. Of wax. Well, I don't think she.
I don't know. Is her robot body made out of wax?
Exactly.
Her undercarriage is not. It's that's all titanium.
That's right.
What would you call it?
I guess it's an undercarriage.
Endoskeleton? Is it called an endoskeleton at that point?
Yeah.
Well, isn't any skeleton an endoskeleton?
Yes.
No, there's exoskeletons.
No, that's outside.
Yeah, but I'm saying any skeletons. Well, I suppose if you're talking strictly human skeletons, sure.
I'm not. I'm talking robot skeletons.
Robots.
Right. Well, human
robots.
Skeletons.
Robots.
I'm gonna say obviously. That to sound more futuristic. Yes, I have an endoskeleton.
All right. Even though we know Ambrose is full of crap, do you think at this point he would have shot her if she had taken him the vial at this moment?
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
He's pissed.
So we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Right. She's tainted goods now to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That comes up later. We'll talk about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is this minute is a lot of staring.
Yeah.
When you were talking about earlier, Chris, I think you're right. This is the longest minute for me.
It really feels like the tension in the scene is like there. And I give it to Wu and his editor. You know, they really slowly drag it out in a good way. So that you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that that's played well by the actors as well. Cause all the glances back and forth are reminiscent of The Killer and Hard Boiled, especially in The Killer when they're in that, that church at the end, you know. I think it's very similar.
I do have a layout of the entire thing, though. I kind of know where they are.
Yeah.
I like that in a movie when I know, like, they framed everything correctly and they shot it correctly so that I, the viewer, am not confused by what could happen
next. You mean classic filmmaking, not MTV filmmaking.
Yeah. I basically mean I know that where the axis is. I know Ethan's on the left. We're looking at a POV almost of Ambrose looking at Naya, and the escape is to the right, kind of, that we know of, we think.
Ethan's right.
Yes. Ethan's right. Stage right.
Not screen right.
Not screen right.
Yes. But that is impressive because to find...
Wait.
Yeah. But to find so much clarity in the shot that you know where you are is rare, especially with as much quick cutting as is nowadays. This is 20 years ago, and even the newer films still do this as well. And that's what I really like about them, that they're so classically made that that their geography is very, very clearly laid out.
Not to bring up the Fast and the Furious, but the Fast and the Furious. They have some scenes where they're in warehouses and they have warehouse fights. I always know where they are. And I don't know if that's because of the kind of movie it is. I don't know if they're dumbing it down or if they've actually, if there's been a turning point with some of the directors where they're like, hey, look, we can do action movies, but we can't do them like mid-2000s action movies where you're like, I don't know what's happening.
I think you're right. Cause Justin Lin is a very good director and he's done the majority of the films lately. I mean, his work on Community is really, really good when he does.
Yeah, I never got lost as to where they were on Community.
No, they were everywhere on Community. And the same thing with the few films.
They were in that college.
Yeah, they're in the college. But like when they do the action, like the paintball games, those ones mm-hmm. are very clearly laid out.
Or the fort, or the pillow fort.
Yeah.
Didn't the Russos direct the paintball?
They did. They directed the second one and the third one, I think. But really? The first one was Justin Lin.
Really?
No, the first one was Justin Lin. Yeah.
God, I wish they would get more movies because they're just not.
Those Russo guys, man. I wish they'd do something.
The Russo guys. That's their name.
Yeah, Russo guys.
The Russo guys. I think now at this point, as of taping, that movie's made $2.7 billion.
I know, almost 2.8.
I keep checking every week. I'm like, God, it keeps going up.
Come on, beat Avatar. Beat Avatar.
Yes, beat Avatar.
It's almost beaten Avatar, yeah.
Well, it's going to beat Avatar in the theaters. Avatar sold like gangbusters in video.
Yeah.
Avatar's numbers are based on its entire run, and it probably came back out in theaters at some point, and it kind of has like
it's
a special edition.
Yeah, it's re-releases. I don't know about video. I don't know anybody who watched Avatar at home.
I have 3 versions of it on video.
Well, I have it on my phone. The way you're supposed to watch Avatar
on your phone,
a tiny little phone,
so immersive.
So good.
I have a 3D version, the special edition version, and the regular version.
Yeah, I had the extended cut on my phone, and I watched it. Meredith was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm watching Avatar."
Was that on your anniversary? Were you guys watching it on your anniversary?
Yeah, on my phone. Together.
Together.
That's what we do. That's how our anniversary works. Hey, baby, you want to come in the bed and watch it? Extended version of Avatar, if you know what I mean.
Ponytails on and everything?
Yep. We braid our ponytails together. It's beautiful, Chris.
I know.
Yep. And at the end of this minute, we get to see, because it kind of cuts off, unfortunately, at her look. Her look is, I'm about to do something. And I love it. Yeah. I love the way this minute ends. Yeah. This may be one of my favorite minutes.
Oh, I didn't bring up yet that I'll bring it up later. It'll be my tech of the app.
Okay.
Okay. Minute 50, or second 53, just to get some peak creepy Ambrose face, and like he's like almost licking his lips at this moment, and it's like, oh
yeah.
And I'm imagining what's his
face. Wish his hand came up into frame. I wish his hand came up and like he stuck his whole hand in his mouth right at this moment. and they did that cool eyebrow thing where you like slant out your eyebrows.
And I'm thinking, well, so wait, speaking of geography, so wherever Hugh is in this scene, he's probably, you know, just looking at him and saying, man, I wish Ambrose looked at me like he's looking at an injection gun right now.
Exactly.
He's definitely gagging for it right
now. Hugh is over there dying.
Oh, yeah, we actually get a good shot that we can see there are only 4 guys.
Yeah. Guys, come over here. I've got a giant backlight. We're going to walk majestically toward it, kind of like Mystery Men. Uh-oh. And that's how we're going to get into tech app.
Slow motion style.
All right.
Yep, put on your capes. Here we go. Hey, now.
You're an all-star.
Get your game on.
Go play.
We're in the tech of the app. Welcome, guys. I like that cape you get. Christian, your cape is an interesting choice. I like that. Feathers. Huh. It's cool.
Well, I am from Hawaii, and that's how they do capes here.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know you were Hawaiian.
I'm not Hawaiian. I'm from Hawaii. I'm Filipino, but there's, you know, big distinction between
being
Hawaiian and being
I didn't insult him. He said he's from Hawaii.
No, it's okay. It's a common mistake.
I'm from Tennessee, so I'm Tennessean, unfortunately.
I don't trust you because you're from Tennessee.
I'm not from there anymore. I haven't been there in 20 years.
Well, you're still from there.
You're still from there. Hey, I'm from Texas. You can't trust me.
No, you're the worst.
I know. I got all those guns.
Jeff, where are you from?
I'm from New Hampshire, but I live in Philly.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. Awesome. Oh, you'll be there for, you'll be able to come to MXM 2020 when we do it in Philly.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Pork roll all the way. I love pork roll, by the way. Are you from North Philly or South Philly?
Well, I'm not. So I'm from New Hampshire, so pork roll is still a foreign thing to me.
Oh, you don't eat it? You don't like pleasure?
No.
All right.
I eat cheese steaks.
Pork roll, they got that over in Hawaii?
I mean...
Are you saying pork roll or pork girl?
And we have Hawaiian
pork
rolls.
Pork roll. Okay. What's on a Hawaiian roll?
Oh, no, it's just the sweet, like the King's Hawaiian rolls that you can find.
Excuse
in the
me,
store.
Let me call them what they are, the Filipino roll. Excuse me, I don't want to call it Hawaiian roll and put you in the wrong, you know, excuse me. Jerk.
While we're on the subject, we do not, well, okay, Hawaiian pizzas, that's not a thing.
No.
I have a whole
Thank
long
you.
Rant about
yeah, but you're not from
pineapple.
Hawaii, so we figured out.
Pineapple does not
just live there once.
On
you just live there once. Yeah, we're born there, and your parents are there, but yeah, you're not from there. Okay.
What's a Filipino pizza?
Yeah, what's Filipino pizza? Is there a thing?
I'm sure there is, but I think that is a no. I don't know, imagine what it would be.
Like, there's not a flat. Like, they does anybody try and, you know how some countries, kind of like America, tries to always create something out of like, where it's American spaghetti or whatever, you know, like, the Filipinos have a pizza type of thing that they tried to like, oh, this, we'll put the stuff we like on it and that'll be our pizza.
Not really. No.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. That went nowhere. All right. Yeah. Great.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. You're Hawaiian. What do you know?
You've touched a nerve on Jonathan, man.
He's not from there. He just lived there for like formative years of his life. But no, he's not from there. I get it. We're in the tech of the app. I didn't talk about Jeff's cowl. That is a very large cowl you're wearing, just in case anyone didn't know.
I can't move my head.
Oh.
He has to turn his whole body.
That seems impractical.
The Keaton turn.
I don't understand is why are there more than two nipples on the suit?
The other one's his nubbin.
One of them's a nubbin.
Exactly. Oh. How do you think I'm talking to you?
Oh, you're right. That's silly. Guys, we're going to do Tech of the App. Tech of the App is this week is going to be, or this today is going to be interesting because there's a lot of face stuff going on. So there may be some techniques of the app weeks, but we'll find out right now. Chris.
Me?
Texas Chris. Go.
Texas Tech Chris. I'm going to go with the tech that makes Ambrose's eyes turn to the side like Admiral Akbar. Whatever lens they're using. I expect
to turn to the side. You mean that they're on the side of his head?
On the side of his head, but they look like they're turning slowly. And they keep getting further away from the middle of his head throughout the entire scene. So whatever that tech is. And like Christian was saying earlier, or whoever was saying earlier about the, you know, his hand coming up or licking his, you know, licking his finger so he could do the eyebrow thing, like you said. I was thinking mm-hmm. he was going to do that with his tongue to his eye like a gecko.
He does have wet eyes.
Yes,
though.
Exactly.
I don't know if he needs to lick them.
He's been wetting them.
Okay. Well, that's not creepy at all. That was a really good choice. Excellent job. I am going to pick because this is one of our last shots of all the computer stuff without like guns blazing. So I'm going to pick the set and the background set piece. The background set piece consists of four giant dentist mirrors. If you look at second 20, you can see most of the stuff. Two giant ventilators. They kind of look like metal bike racks that Ethan is hanging out behind. And then the five computers in the back, which famously say boobs on them. This is my tech of the app because I think this set, I've talked about it since we started. God, we started on this set like a month ago.
That's what it feels like.
But this set is great. I love it. And we're at the culmination of it. It's about to get blasted all to hell, so just get ready for that.
Spoilers.
But it's definitely one of my it's a great tech, great set design, great production design on this.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson, what about you?
I am gonna go with the spotlights. I have been like obsessed with watching them. Who's controlling these spotlights? Are they on a program? Is there somebody up in the rafters?
We talked about this last mm-hmm. week. I think they just got hit. I think a light got hit, and it's just swaying back and forth. It feels like a spotlight, though, doesn't it?
There's multiple. You like look between like second 18 to 20. They like track across, and they're like this whole. Well, yesterday too, a little bit. They're like moving around. I think like someone's trying to put on a play or something. I don't know.
There's some AV little kid up
yes,
there.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Who's supposed to be in the spotlight, Mr. Nimoy?
Or it's all the stored sunlight that they have,
mm-hmm.
so they can have 24 hours of sunlight.
Jesus.
Bouncing off those mirrors.
All the stored sunlight that's come down through the shop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Christian? I'm sorry. Hawaiian Christian.
I'm also going to go with the lighting in general, just because, like we mentioned earlier, this scene is just so well lit, and it just looks gorgeous. Yeah,
it's funny that we all went pretty technical. It's a good scene.
It is.
On a movie that I goof on a lot daily, it's a good scene. And I give credit where credit is due. It is good. I am happy. All right. It's the end of the episode. Guess what that means, Chris? Plugs.
Plugs.
Not for them. They don't get plugs anymore hair until plugs. Friday. But our plug. Yes. Hair plugs for everyone. I don't need them. I'm hair suit. But we can talk about the places you guys can find us. If you guys want to download our podcast and aren't, you're weird. And I don't know why I'm talking to you because you're not listening. So this is for the fans. Fans. Come to our Facebook group. Listeners, come to our Facebook group. Both Christian and Jeff are on there. They're hilarious. They're very interesting. Christian has some of the most interesting things that he posts. It's crazy the amount of information that he has on Mission Impossible and spy stuff. It's yep. awesome. Please, please, please come to our group and check it out. It's the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook. We're at Men Impossible on Instagram. No, Twitter. Well, no. Yeah, Twitter. At Men Impossible, M-I-N Impossible, and on I don't have anything. Oh, and Patreon.com, where these guys came from for Superfan Week. Patreon.com/MinuteImpossible. So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Christian.
I've been Jeff.
This minute will self-destruct.